It is a great joy to be in church this morning. Because of the cold and the extreme weather we have in January, some of us could not get here for the last few weeks, but it's so good to see so many of you in church this morning. Amen? Amen. And once again, I welcome our reporter and our student who is here to study us and to celebrate how we worship here at St. Martin de Porres Catholic Church. Fran, you're very welcome here at St. Martin's this morning. We're glad you're here today. She could have chosen to do her research on any church in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, but she wanted to focus on St. Martin de Porres Catholic Church in the Kingdom of North Philadelphia. So we are happy and glad you're here today. I invite you to pray with me today that the Word of God proclaimed so well today might indeed find fulfillment in our hearing and receiving today. Would you raise up holy hands today and give me a blessing and a prayer that I might indeed do what God asked me to do this morning. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. And the words have been proclaimed today, Lord, indeed proclaimed well. We might indeed understand your will, Lord, and do something great for you. Open my heart, Lord, as weak and sinful as I am, that I might be the preacher, and the teacher, and the pastor you call me to be, and your people deserve. In Jesus' precious name, let the church say, put your hands together and give God some love this morning for how good God is this morning. Amen. Amen. It's said that Abraham Lincoln, one of our greatest presidents, would often go out of the White House on Wednesday evening to listen to the words of a Presbyterian pastor named Dr. Phineas Gurley. He was pastor of the New York Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. And although Lincoln was not normally a churchgoer, he was attracted to this particular preacher and teacher of the word. On one occasion, on coming back from the White House, having heard the sermon of the pastor, somebody asked him what he thought of the sermon. The president responded with these words: "The content was excellent. He delivered the message with eloquence, and obviously he had put some time and work into his message." So his aide said to him, "So, Mr. Lincoln, you liked the sermon?" He said, "No, I didn't." He said, "But you said it was well prepared, well delivered, and effort had gone into it." He said, "That's correct. But the pastor forgot to do one thing. He never asked us to do anything great. He never asked us to do anything great. Been a preacher and teacher over 21 years. And even still, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, I struggle. Because one of my responsibilities as ordained Catholic priest is to preach the word. Oh, no doubt I could kind of get a homily up here from somebody and just read it to you. I've never done that. But I can have the best content, and I should. I can deliver it with tremendous energy and excitement as I try. But if I don't invite you and me to greatness, what am I doing up here? What am I doing up here?" And that's the struggle that any preacher has, to invite people to do something great, to be better than they were last week, than they were last month, than they were last year, to go from good to great, indeed, to be saints, called to holiness, the all of us have. But not only that, you're called to listen, to what's being said and make sure you're challenged and stretched for greatness. The Word of God is powerful. It cuts like a two-edged sword. It's meant to make you a little uncomfortable sometimes and meant to comfort you in times of sorrow and pain. Anybody with me so far? If you were listening today to the gospel I just read, you heard two distinct passages from Luke. Luke chapter 1, where he kind of gives his prologue, why he's writing what he's writing. There's really only one gospel, one good news, but Luke says, I've heard what Mark wrote, I've heard what Matthew wrote, and now I'm going to write down what I heard, what I've seen. And I'm going to write it down to you in such a way that you may understand the power and the presence of Jesus. And then the church moves from that Luke 1, that prologue, and moves along to Luke chapter 4. We hear Jesus give us his mission statement. He goes back to his hometown. You can imagine how people felt when they heard that Jesus was back in town. How excited they were, how proud they were that a home man, homeboy, had come back. I couldn't help but think when I went and celebrated my Mass, first Mass, at Our Lady of the Holy Souls, the 19th in Tioga. Folks who had watched me grow up and knew me from way back. Miss McCall, don't say a word about me now. The people who were my mothers and my fathers and my sisters and my brothers, and there I was, the priest. What joy they felt in seeing me at the altar. And what a gift I felt to give them the gift of the priesthood that had been given to me so many times. So that was the same energy I imagine the folks felt when they saw Jesus come home to his hometown. And notice the word tells us that he went according to his custom to the synagogue to worship. It was his custom, his tradition to worship. He is God from God. Light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, but yet he found himself in worship because we got to worship our God in spirit and truth. How is it that outside of being sick or unable to physically get someplace, how do we stay away from worship on Sunday morning? How is it that God deserves the praise and the honor and the thanks. And I know folks get out of their sick bed on Sunday morning and get to church. I know folks who are just confused and messed up, but they know that's where you go when you're sick, to a doctor called Jesus. You see, that's where we go. Imagine if God said, I don't feel like blessing you today. Give him glory. Give him praise. Let it rise among us, God's glory and thanks for how good God has been. Jesus went and worshiped, the word says, as was his custom. Meaning it was a regular part of his rhythm of life. Is it part of ours? We say we belong to this church. Do we come every Sunday? Or just when I feel like it? Do I come just on special occasions? Or do I come because every Sunday is a special occasion? Do I come just to get something? Or do I come to receive and to bless and to give? And notice, Jesus was in ministry. They gave him the scriptures. He stood up to do the reading. And obviously he knew the scriptures. He found Isaiah 61. Jesus was a minister of the word. He could have came in church and come in church and just kind of just. But worship is not a spectator sport. All of us should be in ministry. And don't say you're too old. Because you might be in ministry by simply caring for somebody. Noticing that person who's, you're new. What's your name? Welcome. Don't say you can't do anything. You can clean these pews after Mass to make sure church is all right for next week. Don't say you can't do anything because maybe you can say, do you need a ride to church? Maybe you can get on the phone and call someone you didn't see for the last few weeks. Not to gossip about what's going on. But simply say, I haven't seen you. Are you okay? Y'all ain't with me this morning, are you? Jesus was in ministry because he knew that's what the pattern of anyone who calls himself religious should be in ministry. And he read the reading. That powerful text, he could have chosen any of them, but he chose the one where Isaiah had promised. God had promised in the words of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me and anointed me. To be anointed means to be set apart, distinguished for service, for greatness in the eyes of God. And sent me to serve. Who? To bring good news to the poor. Proclaim liberty to those in captive. Sight to the blind. Let the oppressed go free. And proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. That's my kind of God I serve. A God who cares about those in the struggle. A God who cares about those who are hurting. A God who cares about those who just can't make ends meet. A God who cares about those who are on the margins or the peripheries of life, the outsiders. God cares. God cares for you. And Jesus made that plain. This is my mission. This is my good news. Rolling up the scroll, he took his seat. All were looking at him. He says, guess what? It's fulfilled in your hearing because I am the greatness of God. I am. You see, God was doing something great when the Word became flesh. God was doing something great when God loved the world so much that he gave us his only Son, that all who believe in him might not perish but might have eternal life. God said, I'm not condemning you, I'm raising you up. God's always been in the business of greatness. But God doesn't wear a red hat with white lettings on it. God doesn't do that. God's goodness, God's greatness is shown in generosity, in humility, in kindness, and compassion. Greatness for God are those virtues. And when we do something great, as President Lincoln was looking for a charge, don't get it messed up and twisted, church. Power is meant to serve. The more you got, the more you should be giving out. The more blessed you are, the more blessed, the more privileged you are, you better open wide some doors for those on the struggle. That's what God understands. And everything Jesus did as a sign of God's greatness was always meant for us. Name one line in the Bible where Jesus talks about himself outside of always helping the people to know God loves you. God cares about you. His life, his ministry was always the other. And when we do good for somebody else, we open ourselves wide to learn anew, remove the arrogance that's so much part of the human condition. Then we do something great for God. We follow the example of God's greatness. I've seen it most recently. We don't have many weddings in this church. Sadly, tragically, people have chosen not to get married. Something so much a part of our tradition. There was a time when folks could not get married legally, and they had to jump the broom. To solemnize. And to give a ceremony to their vows. My own family. I ain't getting married, Uncle Steve. Why should I? We live together. What's the difference? We got kids, so why do I need to get married? And we share a bed. We share bills. Why get married? Not understanding that marriage in the Lord is a sacrament for others. Not just about you. How blessed was I this Tuesday evening to meet with a couple getting married. How excited I was to sit down with them and prepare not just for their day in August, but for a lifetime of love and grace. And as a preacher, the teacher, I know when someone's paying attention to me. Some of you are, some of you aren't. Just looking at the stars. Ain't no stars in here. I'm gonna try to find them. Where those stars at? Looking around. But some are paying attention. And to listen to people who are truly engaged in the conversation about marriage and the importance of marriage, and to see that they truly were open not just for their day, but Father, you're right. What are we doing to prepare for a lifetime of love and happiness and grace? And how can our wedding be a testimony, they said, that somebody might know love still wins. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it, doing something great. When someone emailed me and asked for a meeting, we host a meeting here with community leaders to engage city council and other folks in government about the blight that exists in our neighborhood. We all complain about it. We all drive by it and walk by it. But she chose to say, Father, what can I do? Not just to move the trash for a day or two, but to change the dynamic that allows ourselves to be dumped on day by day. Why do we think it's okay to dump trash and garbage on Lehigh Avenue, 24th Street, and all around this? Why is it okay? Why have we allowed that? I grew up in North, don't tell me about North Philadelphia. I know it. I can still see people on Saturday morning with the trash bags and the brooms and the bleach washing down those stocks. You wouldn't dare dump trash in Chestnut Hill. You wouldn't dare dump trash in Fairmount. You wouldn't dare dump trash in Rittenhouse Square. Why do we think it's okay for us to be dumped on? We all agree, but she said, Father, I want to do something about it. Greatness. Greatness. There's someone, and I won't even call his name, but comes by regularly to bring food and glad tidings for those who are poor. Does not need to do this. And does not do it to be recognized so much. In fact, does it very quietly. So that our food cupboard doesn't dry up. Because he has many blessings and comes to share his. How many canned goods have you brought to church to share with those in need? He never asked us to do anything great, and perhaps we didn't look for anything great to be done for us. All of us, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. said, can be great because all of us can serve. I'm so glad that for somebody, anybody, the word of God falls on good soil. I'm so glad that somebody knows that God preaches a word through his son and through everyone who mounts a pulpit, as we heard in Old Testament and New Testament. I'm so glad that God calls me and so many others not just to preach the word, but to live it. Because all it is a good acting job if you don't live it. We must, all of us, can be great and must do great for our God. Greatness, greatness is something that God designed and God wants from us. And if we do that, if we give God the praise and the thanks, if we give God the glory and the praise that is God's due, if we let God's glory rise among us, and not just God's glory, but God's action and work rise among us, we can be the change we want to see. Yeah, yeah. Oh, St. Martin de Porres. God is not done with us yet. The best is yet to come. God is not finished with us, because I still believe we can rise up and we can be the people that God wants us to be. Yes, nice words, well delivered, but we better go out and do something great for God. We better stand up. Stand up. Stand up and give God praise and thanks for what God has done for us. Let that glory rise among us.
Oh, yes.
All right, all right.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise. Let the joy of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh.
Today, go eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who have nothing prepared. The day is holy to the Lord. Do not be sad this day, Rejoicing in the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Gotta say that again. Rejoicing
yes,
in the Lord.
Yes, 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 yes.
Who knows about rejoicing in the Lord? Must be your strength.
Oh, yes.
When you give God praise,
yes.
God glory and thanks, you get the energy you need to go forth to do good for someone else.
Yes. Amen.
May someone be blessed by the word today and go out and do great. Amen.
Amen. Amen.